Hi everyone, welcome to the Language of Love. This is your host, Rachel. On today's episode, we'll be talking about sexually cannibalistic spiders. And yeah, you heard that right. On Valentine's Day, most people that are crushing might buy some flowers, a card, and chocolates for the person they're eyeing. This isn't much different for the Passora mirabilis spiders. The male spiders also offer the crushes gifts, but instead of Valentine's, they're referred to as nuptial gifts. Like any other guy looking for a Valentine, he might get her a little something special, maybe a fly or another tasty treat. Wrap it up in silk, then hesitantly approach the girl. For us humans, the worst outcome you could get is a broken heart and maybe some extra weight from the chocolates. We have it pretty good compared to these spiders, because if you think an awkward rejection is bad, these spiders are at risk of death if they approach the wrong girl. They are sexually cannibalistic creatures, meaning if the mate isn't interested in love, she might just eat him. There are a few reasons why the female might eat a male, many of which are still being explored and vary a bit depending on the type of spider. Kenwin Blake Suttle, a researcher from the UC Berkeley Department of Earth and Planetary Science, explains in his paper The Evolution of Sexual Cannibalism, a theory about wolf spiders that says cannibalism provides females with an extra source of nutrients, which would help her offspring in the long run. If you have a healthy mama, then we get healthy babies. This idea is debated, however. This would only really be true if copulation, aka sex, was successful and sperm is transferred. Also, it's tricky to back up because many male spiders have developed strategies to prevent themselves from being eaten. Of course, there are a few exceptions of spiders being complacent, like the Australian redback spider that reapproaches the same female multiple times, leading to his death about 90% of the time. But most spiders like the black widow, crab spiders, and wolf spiders use a variety of techniques to increase their chances of survival. So many researchers are still hashing it out with the hows, whats, and whys to understand all these spiders. The point I'm trying to make is that sexual cannibalism is diverse in the spider world, and that new ideas about their copulation are being explored today, like the Passora mirabilis and their nuptial gifts. Two researchers that set out to learn more about these spiders and their nuptial gifts are Soren Toft and Maria Albo. They believed that nuptial gifts were used as a tool to increase a male's chance of surviving an encounter with a crazy lady. So they conducted an experiment to confirm this with hard data. To do this, they had two groups of females and two groups of males. One group of the girls was fed and the others were left hungry. Yeah, it sounds cruel, but I know y'all scream and try to kill itty bitty spiders on the daily. And these girls kill their mates, so relax. Anyways, for the guys, one group would have a fly as a gift, and others wouldn't have anything to present to a girl. They made a variety of pairs with girls and guys from different groups, and what they found was that guys who brought gifts were less likely to be cannibalized. It didn't matter so much if she was fed or not, but the no-gift group of males did not have much luck. Hint, hint to all the guys out there. Treat your girl like a queen, or else. What is interesting about Toft and Albo and their whole study is that they're one of the first to prove that the gift really does act as a shield with clear data backing it up. Previously, the idea that nuptial gifts protected the males was brushed off. Here's what Soren Toft had to say about it.
You could say the purpose was to test if an old hypothesis that had been proposed by spider biologists way back in the 1950s, actually by amateur naturalists, they had proposed this hypothesis that the gift could function as a kind of shield against aggressive females. 25 years ago or so, there was a Swedish PhD student who tried to test this hypothesis, but her experiment didn't show anything really, or at least did not confirm the hypothesis. So she discounted it. And subsequently, people who considered this question took her result as the truth, so to speak. So it was kind of recognized in the archaeological community that this anti-cannibalism hypothesis, we did not really need to consider that anymore. But you know, I have made hundreds and hundreds of experiments with these spiders, so I have seen it work
was a repeat experiment, and Dr. Toft and Dr. Albo trusted their gut and ran it again, standing by what they believed in.
You could say if the community discounts a hypothesis that you're convinced of, then you need to test it again and get some good data on it.
This critical thinking mentality isn't a special thing for just the spider community. This is something that everyone in the science world has to do. Get the facts down and stand by what you believe is true.
This story is that you shouldn't believe even what is established science, so to speak, because this hypothesis about the gift as a shield against cannibalism, this was discounted by the archaeological community. I would say, don't trust what everybody else says.
This goes beyond just science, though. In your everyday life, if you think something is wrong, you need to find the truth. And ladies, don't ever be afraid of telling a guy or people in general, no. Let your inner spider come out, let those spidey senses kick in, trust your gut, and have the tenacity to prove people wrong. Do what you believe is true.